I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
The 10 o'clock hour of Will Deans House. Just to clarify for a few of the folks in the
chat,
YouTube chat, Brian Bulaga is in the path of the hurricane. That is the only reason why we're talking about the hurricane. We're talking a lot of Packers football as well, but we just want to make sure our guy is safe and sound. Now let's move on. Speaking of safe and sound. Yeah, don't get again.
I'm not sure I love this, you looking at the chat during
positive so far.
Okay. It just seems like you're not a guy that likes to be in distract. I can tell when you're distracted.
Sounds Paula like you're finding some says, negativity.
It had been very positive. But again, and I didn't cut everyone off because I had a break news about a hurricane. I cut everyone off because we need to get the break. Now, There's plenty of time to discuss Brian Bulaga's use of a home phone line, but more importantly, about the Packers' offensive line play. Rashid Walker, the team has 18 penalties. Rashid Walker has 6 of them.
Ooh.
It's a pretty high percentage. He's got a false start. He's got a some other penalty.
Hands to the face.
And 4
some
holds.
Holdings. Yep.
Brian? Tausch, 2 former offensive linemen who, of course, never were called for holding. What the hell's going on out here with the left tackle?
Yeah. And it's just like watching when he gets these holding penalties. I think there was one of them in the Indy game that I think we talked about last week, Tausch. That was kind of – it was ticky-tacky. It wasn't a really good call. But it got called nonetheless. Like, I get it. But, like, that really wasn't a holding call. But some of the other ones that he's gotten, it's simply him being out of position or in a bad position. And that comes with getting off the ball in the snap count. The one against the Eagles in week 1, that's what that was. He got a holding call because he was late off the ball, was going to get Jordan Love crushed, and he kind of held the guy so it didn't happen. So that's what that one was. And I've seen some of his early struggles simply because of technique and the position that he puts himself in off his first 3 kicks in pass pro. Like, that's what I've seen. And what I'm still positive about him about, and why I still feel totally fine with him being the left tackle, is that this isn't something that is constantly happening every drive. Like, he's not in these positions on every snap or on every pass, you know, pass rep that he takes. It's like randomly, sporadically throughout the game. Like, it's not a consistent thing that you're seeing over and over on every snap. So to me, it's him just having to clean these things up throughout a game and stay dialed in on every single snap. Maybe he's thinking too much. Maybe he's putting a little bit too much pressure on himself. And when you make a mistake, that kind of compounds itself and you start thinking about it a little bit more and more and more. He just needs to wipe it and move on. And he does that throughout the period of a game, like mistake, and it looks clean for 2 drives, and then another mistake, and then it looks clean. Like, so he just needs to have a game here where it's clean all the way through, and that's going to boost the confidence tremendously. And I get it. It's easier said than done to have a completely clean game. It's very hard in the NFL to do that. But it's not like he's consistently like playing poorly, if that makes like I don't know if I'm making sense or not, but it's I understand the penalties, like, and those have to get cleaned up. But if this was a case where every snap he was taking it looked bad, then yeah, this would be a different discussion. But that's not the case. It's maybe 4 plays a game, which then makes it look like he's struggling big time, and that's the life of an NFL offensive lineman. Like, it could take 2 plays to make you look like you had a horrible game, and
sure.
Well, that's just the notion that gets put out there. But it's been just a few plays a game, and if he cleans that up, we're having a whole different conversation midseason, and I truly believe that.
Well, you said the same thing that LaFleur said, so clearly it is some technique issues in those moments. I am curious about one other thing. Aaron Jones is coming back, obviously. Aaron Jones was a slasher, but he was very much a read and put your foot in the ground and go. And what I think has been interesting about watching Josh Jacobs is he does seem to do some jump cutting and spinning and moving around that maybe, and if you can help me understand this, gets guys that might be in a legal blocking position if he's going one way, suddenly now in a compromised position where they're in position to hold. Again, I didn't play right tackle in the league, even though I'm sure most people think I did, given the panel. Is that a thing, or am I just making up excuses for Rashid?
Well, it's kind of
I'm making up excuses for Rashid.
No. Well, like, it's kind of the same way where you see a lot of offensive linemen get holding when quarterbacks break the pocket, and the linemen have no idea that the quarterback's broken the pocket, and their DN starts running up the field, and they're like, well, I don't know why he's going there, so they continue to block that way, and it ends up being a holding call. Like, I'm not saying it's identical to that, but like, that happens in the run game. Like, these D linemen are looking at, you know, the running back behind you. So if he's jump cutting and pausing and cutting in and out of areas and doing that, the D linemen are going to react to that. And if the O linemen are in the slightest bad position and a D lineman redirects that way and gets just outside the frame of the offensive lineman, and there's a little bit of a tug there and the ref sees it, they're going to flag it. Like, that's just the way it goes. Now, I'm not saying that that's a knock on Jacobs' running style. That's how he runs and he's very productive at it. The guys just have to understand that he's going to be doing this. Like, he is going to set up blocks and set up D linemen that's advantageous to him, and they need to stay engaged in the best way possible with keeping their body in good positions and their hands in good positions, so that when those redirects happen, they're bringing their feet with them and their feet aren't going one direction and their arms are going another direction. And that's how you get these holding calls. So I don't think it's not like it's out of the ordinary that running backs make these types of cuts and set blocks up like this. The guys just have to do a little bit better job of keeping their feet with where their arms and hands are going, so that you don't get that look that refs look for where you're tugging jersey and you know, it's restricting a D lineman, so to speak.
Yeah, I just to kind of jump on what Brian was saying, run your feet. If your feet are moving forward and you're finishing a guy that way, it's when your feet stop and you show any type of arm extension, and that's where the tugs get really highlighted. And the same thing, you talk to refs during training camp, they're looking, if your feet don't get beat, you're not getting a holding call. You can be outside the framework. Mm-hmm. You can do, if your feet are in the right position, you're not going to get called for holding. And I think actually, and it's not lazy, it's just, it's a little careless with a couple of them, because the ball's going by and it doesn't even really, a couple of his holds haven't even needed to be there. The ball has been already in front of him, and you have to also realize kind of how to let go. And that's not an easy thing, because especially as a seventh-round pick, you want to finish everything. You want to go right to the ground with them. And as long as you're running your feet, if I'm talking to Rashid, run your feet the whole way through. Because once you stop those feet, that's when he gets in trouble when it comes to holding. And unfortunately, now he's kind of got that rep. He's got it. And refs study film too. They say, their left tackle's been holding a lot. Make sure we're watching. And unfortunately, that compounds it as well. So he's got to clean that part of it up. Blue, Zach Tom's a stud, man. We've been on this for a while. I think the Packers are going to sign him to a big, fat extension before this season ends. I thought it was going to be Dobbs. I think it's going to be Zach Tom, and I think they need to pay him because he's an elite right tackle in this league. Do you see it any different? I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
Yep, I see it no different. He is going to get a big old fat paycheck. And to be honest with you, like, I only think he's going to get better as the year goes on, because I still think he's in that process of kicking off rust from missing so much time in camp. Like, and watching him week one in his pass sets and then watching him week two and week three, it's only gotten better. He's looked more comfortable, more confident with where he is in space and his hand placement. And, you know, dealing with the pack, and recovering from something like that, you're a little, I wouldn't say hesitant, but you're concerned about where your arms are in space and kind of, you know, the strength of it and things like that. And he's only gotten more comfortable as this short season has gone by. So I think he's only going to get better. And yeah, I mean, this is, if we're going to talk about a no-brainer, like extension wise, this is it. Like, this is, he is an elite offensive tackle in this league. And those guys don't grow on trees, man. They just don't. Like, so when you got one, you keep them. And
pay them.
You lock them up and you pay them early. The money, and that's just the way it goes.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Tausch is exactly right. You let this go longer and longer and longer, and he continues to perform better and better and better. And then if he gets a Pro Bowl or a second team,
all pro
slapped on him, and then it goes up even more.
So today's price ain't going to be tomorrow's price. So, yes. Elton Jenkins, I would look at what they did with Elton Jenkins. They're going to try to do the same thing. I hope Zach Tom gets every penny he deserves because he is a stud.
Yep.
That's really great, good. But right tackles don't go to Pro Bowls.
He's probably going to.
Well, but they get all pro votes now. That change out. There's an all pro right tackle and all pro left tackle.
Oh.
You can get one of those too.
You guys came a long way too early, the both of yous.
Well, and you know, he's got to compete with Lane Johnson for that. Like, Lane Johnson's always the media darling with the all-pro voting. So, like, if Zach Tom continues to perform, and the right tackle from the Lions.
Yeah, Penei Sewell. Yep, that's who I was just going to say.
Zach Tom's looking at that contract and going,
yes,
that looks really good.
Yeah.
That looks really good. You know, if we look at our play, you know, I think I'm very similar to the way he plays. And he just has to get the accolades to get that.
And Domofsky wanted him to be a center.
Hall of Fame center.
Yeah. No, not happening.
All right, Brian. Good luck with the kids. Good luck with the landline. Stay safe. Hope the farm is battened down by the time we talk to you next. But watch out for Helene, who is on her way. We appreciate you, buddy.
Gotta
thanks.
Keep you safe so you can watch Iowa, Ohio State on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that I can be on the home road tomorrow. My internet's not out. Like, if we lose internet, like, I can't.
Yeah, and I'm on position, with you on Thursdays, so you got to be on because I don't want to talk to him the whole time.
Yeah, strengthen that up.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, I'm hoping that everything, you know, it's not too bad, but we'll see.
All right, buddy, we appreciate you. Thanks.
All right, guys, take care.
That is Brian Bulaga live from Florida as Hurricane Helene approaches. Tausch, he may have some cleanup to do after the storm hits. He's going to need a couple extra bucks. You might want to consider Fortrea.
And Fortrea's got all kinds of studies. I know we focus a lot on a little heavier set. That's what we focused on. But go to Fortrea Clinical Trials. Find the study that fits you. And we got a couple of new ones. Women currently breastfeeding, ages 18 to 45 with a BMI of 18 to 35. One stay, 5 nights, 5 follow-ups, and a phoner, $10,125 for your time and participation. And then the oldie but goodie, healthy adults, ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. Study involves one stay, 14 nights, 11 follow-ups, $13,006 for your time and participation. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I'm a fan. Is there a chance that Jesse will get promoted right out of this job?
What are you? I missed it. What did you say you like?
Pablo.
Yeah.
Iglesias. He's on our team.
Yeah, I understand.
I like him.
So you're trying to fire Jesse? Is what you're saying?
No, I'm trying to promote him out of the job.
To where?
I don't know. He's already the. What are you? What is your title, Jesse?
Chief Delegating Officer.
No, no.
CDO.
No.
Yeah.
CDO.
No,
that's what Josh DiMaggio calls me. He says, sir, yes, sir. I am the content manager at ESPN Madison.
Okay, so the next step up would be director of content?
Yeah, and I don't know what the difference is, so...
I'm thinking some pay.
Oh! I should look into that then, I suppose.
I feel like directors... I don't know much about corporate America. But I feel like when you're at like the director level, and then there's a vice president level... And then there's the C-suite, right? Like the COO, the CFO, the CEO. So I don't know. I never have to worry about any of those things.
How high do you think we can ride this elevator up, huh?
You keep delegating. I like your chances. Tausch, I wanted to go back to something that we talked about with Brian before we get to Homer, who is scheduled to appear coming up next. And that is when you look at your guy Goody's track record of getting deals done, would you say that he has been proactive?
Selectively.
I'm trying to think of examples of guys that he extended early.
Elton Jenkins is the top of the list for me.
Yes, that's one. That was the one
Jair.
I had.
Jair.
He was in the last year of his deal, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he did it mid-season, I believe. I don't think he did it off-season.
Okay.
Jordan Love got a year left on his deal. He did that.
I don't think Jordan Love counts. Because if he had been proactive on Jordan Love, he wouldn't have been able to because of the extension he did. Because he didn't really know if he was going to be good or not.
He signed him a year early. He could have let him play.
He signed
this year
him after a hold-in.
He could have fought him. Yeah, I agree. He could have. He did. He got him for less on the option.
Could have got him on May 3rd for less than he got him for on July 27th.
I think what we've seen with Russ and with Goody is they want to pay their guys fair market rate. And when you sign early, you're going to get guys at a little bit of a discount.
Yes.
You play that game, but you're going to be incredibly selective with that game. Zach Tom's one of those guys. I still think Romeo Doubs, even though maybe he hasn't had the, you know, it's been a goofy start. Jordan's
yeah,
obviously.
That doesn't count.
I agree.
He was good against the Colts, too.
But I do think both of those guys will be the guys, if they're going to, and they have a little cap space to mm-hmm. to play with. Those would be the two guys. If you're asking me, who do you think has got a shot at getting a new deal before the end of this year? I think it's both of those guys, and it'll be whoever accepts maybe a little bit less because they're taking a year off, you know, with having
of
to risk.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So Zach Tom's going to get paid, and I think it would behoove the Packers to be. It would be very smart to be proactive, lock him up. Try to get him for less than what Penei Sewell got with the Detroit Lions.
Uh-huh.
And if you can figure that out, I think it's a monster win for the G&G. And if I'm Zach Tom, I'm saying I need to get more. And they're not going to do that. So that's going to be that battle line. But that's something, if as a Packer fan and liking watching good offensive line play, I'd love to see Zach Tom get broke off and stay here for the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. I agree. I would say that of your takes that you've had, the boldness of you would give Rob Domofsky a hard time for saying that the two guys that are most likely to get extended are Romeo Doubs.
I'm not giving a bold take. Hold up. No, this isn't the boldathon, Jason. This is
I know, but you said I would say the two guys that are going to get extensions would be Romeo Doubs and Zach Tom. It's not a critique. I'm just saying blank.
It is a critique.
They're the low-hanging fruits.
It's not a bold take. Jesse, did I miss a memo?
Don't back down, old T. Don't back down. Go get him.
Hey, is today boldathon?
Good job, Jesse.
Did I miss a memo?
No, I was just illustrating that it's kind of a no blank blank.
No, and honestly, Jason, it's not, because Christian Watson's in the same boat as
he's
Romeo
not
Doubs.
He's not, though. He doesn't have nearly the same proven track record because of his health. That would have been that's the bold take.
No,
that right there is the bold take. They should pay Christian Watson instead of the other guys that have proven track records. That's your bold take.
You and I wouldn't do it. Why don't you make your own bold takes? I'll make observations and try to say what I think is going to happen. Unless this is another week of boldathons, I'm not interested in bold. I'm interested in fat and what I think is going to happen.
Davenport, get down here.
What are you talking about?
Tausch is standing up for himself. He's not backing down.
No, I'm not back. I don't fully understand. Like, I don't even know who else would be eligible.
It was not
like Josh Myers, and they're not going to pay Josh Myers.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're definitely not. My point was,
sign Josh Myers for the same deal Biotis got? 10 a year.
No.
He's going to get 12 or 13 in the open market.
Yeah, I think they drafted Jacob Monk to be the guy.
Okay.
So, no. And yes, it's not a boldathon. I'm just telling you, let me take it back. Let me back down and say you took the low-hanging fruit there. Romeo Doubs and Zach Tom are very clearly the next two guys to get extensions.
You just brought up the fact that they don't do this much anymore.
Right. I want to get to Homer.
Time to back down, Tausch. We got to get to Homer.
To say that they're going to do it and that they should do it is, in essence,
if they're going to do it, those are the two guys that they're going to do it with.
Well, no blank blank.
Yes. Like, thank you for proving
now
my
you're
point.
Getting it.
Homer joins us next. I want to remind you, if you need legal advice and you don't want someone who backs down, call Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more about the firm. Homer joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Time for Homer every weekday, 5 to 6 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, and of course also the voice of Mark Kempman's basketball. Homer, sorry to get to you late, but I know you don't care, but I'm still sorry.
Okay, accepted.
Do you believe that Jordan Love will play against the Vikings now that Adam Schefter has said it?
Well, Tausch said it long ago, and I mean that. That's not the area of expertise for Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter is 100% on when something has occurred, so it's good. But this is not the same as Adam Schefter. This has taken place as far as a contract or anything with the teams. But Tausch said, I told you yesterday. You didn't mention what I said. Does that not count?
What'd you say?
Ask Jason. He was on with me.
Jason,
I don't remember.
Mad at
Oh, he's always angry. He's an angry elf.
Very angry. Angry elf.
95%, 100%. It will be a shock to me if Jordan Love does not play. A shock. And the furthest Jason would go, it's nice he remembers, he would be surprised. I will be shocked. And everybody should be shocked. And if he doesn't play, then fine. But that's, I will be shocked, for example, if Wisconsin beats USC. If they do, it would be the greatest Wisconsin win, regular season win, ever, if they can win that game. That's how difficult.
So do you test drive your takes on Twitter and then bring them to the radio?
No. I don't.
Are you sure? Because I saw this
on Earth,
Twitter.
Just wait a second. I don't even know where to go here. Why would this game against USC be the greatest win in the history of the Wisconsin football program? Not the game over in Japan where they went to the Rose Bowl in the first time in 50 years.
Yeah, that's
or when
one.
We beat Ohio State on the road and it spurred us on to win a championship.
Right.
But this
right.
game against USC in September is going to be the greatest win in the history of the program. I love defending you. Actually, I don't. But I can't. I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, no, I didn't say it was the most important. That is different. This to win this game will be more difficult than any of the challenges of those games, based on the team, based on where they were playing, based on their quarterback. That's why I say it's the greatest. Not the most important.
So
the
game, we
the
went
teams
into
that you met, this team has done nothing of significance. They have a backup quarterback. They're playing on the road against a very good team. Mm-hmm. That's a challenge greater than any of the challenges those teams met that you mentioned.
No. Let me paint you a picture.
Ooh, dazzling details.
We lose to the Cincinnati Bearcats in 1999.
Correct.
To a game we had no business. Then Michigan comes in and beats us. Our season's spiraling. Yep. We bench our quarterback. We bring in a freshman, little snot-nosed freshman.
Whoa, nice try. You benched a quarterback that everybody wanted benched, and you brought in a highly touted freshman that the majority of people believe should have started from the first game of that season. Is that also accurate?
A freshman quarterback, coach's son,
got him.
That comes out, has never played a lick of college football.
Don't back down.
Back down.
Yeah, keep selling the bluff. And
I'm
who
not
is
selling
your
the bluff.
Back?
You're
who
acting like this is some uncharted
team?
Deal. Braden Locke is played. Hey, I don't know if you remember, he started three games last year. Against Ohio State was one of them. So this isn't some little snot-nosed rookie that's going to – he's played major college football before.
Right? And your
point – would you stop calling your friend Brooks Bollinger a snot-nosed rookie?
Brooks hasn't played. We say, hey, Brooks, we need you as a veteran. We need you to turn this season around for us in the toughest place against the top five
teams. Who was the running back on that team?
Ron Dane.
This team's got a Ron Dane. Oh, yeah. Okay, keep going.
Chaz Malusi.
I love the fact you love hyperbole. I do. This is one of your hyperbolic statements that you've ever
heard. I feel more comfortable with that position given the discussion we just had. All right. But also, I'm a little upset that nobody else has stated and written a story that the performance by the backup quarterback of the Green Bay Packers was historic. In the history of the NFL, nobody has come in to fill in for the starter and had back-to-back games with quarterback ratings over 120.
Jeff Hostetler. Jeff Hostetler.
What?
I got to look that up.
Well, go look it up.
I know I looked it up.
He won a championship. Foles. Nick Foles.
Yeah, Brett Favre was close. All those. Kurt Warner was close.
Homer.
First two games. Quarterback rating over 120 in each game, never done before.
Nick Foles, Jeff Hostetler's done it.
Keep making names up. This makes me feel even
making
better about
names up.
Nick Foles won a. Hey, Nick Foles didn't beat the Tennessee Titans, who stink. He beat New England in a Super Bowl as a backup.
Qualify it however you want, but start with he did. What no backup quarterback has ever done before in the history of the NFL. You've left that part out. Start with that and then add whatever you want.
I just went through two quarterbacks that played backup and won playoff games and won Super Bowls with their teams. You just went through, and Malik Willis deserves a lot of credit.
No doubt.
They just went and beat a bad Tennessee team on the road. He was fantastic, but don't act like this is the greatest performance in the history of backup quarterback play when Frank Wright came in and scored 31 unanswered against the Oilers. Like, there's 100. I've just named three without even thinking about it.
Never mind. All right, what's the next topic?
Are you taking a big fat L and just going to move on?
No, I said you just made up other stuff that has nothing to do with what I said. I said it was historic. Because for the first time ever, in the first two games, filling in for a starter, he had a quarterback rating of over 120 in both those games. That's never done before. Now, you told me that these other quarterbacks had four kids and raised them well, or whatever the hell you brought up. It has nothing to do with the historic presentation that I made. You cannot deny that, so you have to have other ways to discount it, which you can't do. Because it has nothing to do with my statement, which
Homer.
Is still accurate. Did either of those quarterbacks, regardless of what they did, cured cancer, whatever, did any of those quarterbacks have back-to-back 120 ratings in their first two games? Yes or no?
Homer, what is more impressive?
Oh, my God.
What is more impressive?
Jason, how do you deal with this?
More impressive?
Just ask Malik, retired Navy fella. I'm a saint.
Malik Willis leads his team down and has a great game of 100 rating, which is great, against Tennessee. Or Frank Reich being behind by 31 points in a playoff game, leading his team to beat the Houston Oilers back in the 90s. What was more impressive?
Right. Frank Reich is more impressive. Now, will you answer yes or no? Did Frank Reich or any other quarterback in the history of the NFL have back-to-back quarterback ratings of 120 in their first two games filling in for a starter? Yes or no?
Potentially. I'm not going to lie. I don't know.
Back and down again.
Homer, Jason Wilson should get a raise. Whatever they're paying Jason, is it enough? Do they pay for therapy for you, Jason?
So I think I can help everyone here by saying that you are right that that is a factual statement. You asked why no one has written that story, though. And what I would say, even though I did multiple pieces on, and you could get 6 months for a dollar on Madison.com, by the way, multiple pieces on Malik Willis, including a great conversation that I had with him one-on-one about the idea of his career arc if he gets the sit like Jordan Love did. But I would say, to Tausch's point, if he were to do what Jeff Hostetler did, which was win a Super Bowl in Phil Simms' place, Tausch, am I getting that right?
Yes.
If he were to do what Nick Foles did,
Kurt Warner.
Or what Frank Reich did, if we're talking about what's impressive, a 120 passer rating against two bad AFC South teams is not as impressive. You guys are arguing two different things, which has been known to happen on occasion when I get the two of you together. So you are right, Homer, but also Tausch is right. You're also right that I need a raise. All right, we need to let you go. I am now, for those that love the Homer Hour, I have actually asked for more opportunities to be on with Homer because it used to be a daily occurrence, 5 days a week. I'm not that greedy. But I am now on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. I want to thank Brian D. for making that work. I want to thank Homer for making that work.
Jason?
Yes?
Can you help me out?
I'd love to.
Can you ask Tausch how I feel about that change in the show?
Bye. Now that's a pretty good bird.
He hung up.
That is Steve the Homer True. You can listen to him every weekday from 5 to 6 on ESPN Milwaukee 94.5. And he is presented to us by Johnson & Sons Paving, even when he's a bit of an asphalt.
Good one. Get ready for spring. Now, give Johnson & Sons a call. Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over winter. Potholes, crack curbs, drainage issues. Things are bad now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed today. Schedule a free, no-obligation quote. Get a walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement, work that is needed to be done by spotting fatigue cracking, standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, or anything else. Don't scare away your customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now and save money later. JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com.
I do want to talk a little bit about what Homer brought up in terms of the impressiveness of what Malik Willis has done. We'll do that and see where the poll ended up yesterday. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
That Elon, I know he's your guy, Tausch, but because I haven't been willing to pay for my little blue check that I used to have, which I always thought was kind of important, so you knew you could trust that source for information. We still got over 1,000 votes yesterday with our poll. So take that, Elon. Poll question was this: Obviously, Matt LaFleur and Malik Willis have both been phenomenal as the Packers have gone 2-0 without Jordan Love. But would they have gone 2-0 with Sean Clifford at quarterback instead of Willis? Yes, it's a more nuanced conversation. Tune in. I don't know since. Have you heard of the game Canyon? If anything has come even close to that. 92.8% of respondents out of 1,118 votes said no, they do not go 2-0. Yes, they still go 2-0, 7.2%. Now, I would read that, Tausch, as an endorsement of Malik Willis and giving him credit along with credit for Matt LaFleur and the staff conjuring up a game plan. I would also take that as a no-confidence vote for Sean Clifford. How do you interpret the data?
Yeah, I think it's a ringing endorsement of Malik Willis. I don't necessarily even think it has a ton to do with Sean Clifford. I mean, obviously a little bit.
Sure.
But I think when you look at it and the more you watch what Matt LaFleur did with Malik Willis, it put a lot of stress on opposing defenses. And to Malik's credit, it wasn't just, well, we're going to run a bunch of RPOs and do a bunch of things. He made some throws. Even in the Indy game where it was a lot less, he made a few plays, and that's all it takes. You have to prove that you can do it, or they're going to, you know, defenses are going to continue to stack boxes and make it almost impossible to run the football. And when your quarterback can run the way Malik can and you can execute and block the way that the Green Bay Packers have done, it's a tough matchup. And credit to Matt for, you know, devising that scheme, but a big credit to Malik in executing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Packer fans just really appreciate what we saw. And Sean Clifford would not be able to do what Malik did in the run game. And the run game would not have had the same cachet or success because I'm telling you right now, it is a huge test for those defensive ends, outside linebackers, to make those reads. And you can read it right three times, but on the fourth one, if you crash and Malik Willis gets out and runs for 38 yards or whatever it was, that's such a gut punch. And then you have to start devoting more resources down to stop. And you get more one-on-one coverage, and that opens up that part of it that you throw for 200 yards. And then Homer says, well, you had the greatest 120 rating and all this. It all goes hand in hand. And I don't think Sean Clifford could have executed at that point. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't have went 2-0, but it does mean this offense was utilized a lot better with the skill sets and the plan that both Malik Willis and Matt LaFleur put together.
We'll talk a little bit more about Malik Willis coming up when we kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which we will do in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.